Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Obviously, a lot of attention on Mar-a-Lago, Florida yesterday as Vladimir Zelensky met with President Trump. No deal in terms of peace in the war between Ukraine and Russia. And frankly, from my perspective, it doesn't seem like there will be peace unless Ukraine capitulates completely. But I don't know. I just watch the news, read the papers, and then try to come up with an idea. A guy who actually knows a little more about it is Matthew Schmidt, professor of political science at University of New Haven, joining us now on Brian and Company. Good morning, sir. Happy holidays.
Good morning. Happy holidays.
General thoughts on, before I get to my leading questions where I give you my take as I ask them, what are your general thoughts on not only just what happened yesterday, but like the dynamic right now?
I think it's exactly what you said. Nothing has really changed. I think the big dynamic here is that Zelensky is trying to create some kind of security guarantee using Europe. European troops to do that, and he has that guarantee, but the Europeans can't do it unless the Americans agree to back them with things like a heavy transport lift. Otherwise, they have to forward deploy into Ukraine, and shock of shocks, Putin says that's a no-go and that they would be a target, and so that's holding everything up right now.
So, I mean, he asked for 50 years, and they're sort of countering with like 15 years, and I don't even know. I wanted to take a step back because what is a security guarantee? I don't even know exactly what that means.
So from the Ukrainian standpoint, they want something like an Article 5 declaration that if the Russians invade, it's seen as a threat to the security of, say, the 30 countries in Europe, and that they would send troops to defend Ukraine. Just like Article 5 might be invoked for an invasion of any one of the NATO countries. So what's happening here is that Ukraine is trying to build the equivalent of an Article 5, but outside of NATO. They're saying, fine, we'll accept that we're not going to be a member of NATO, but if we can get these 30 countries to agree to back us, then that would deter Russia from a further invasion 2-3 years from now.
And they're going to get that?
They essentially already have.
Okay.
The Europeans have created this thing they call the Coalition of the Willing. It's led by the UK, and they've said we're willing to do this, but we can't functionally do it. We can't tactically do it unless we have American support. And there's two things. One, there's a real tactical requirement because the key input that the US has provided NATO are things like heavy lift capability, the ability to like transport hundreds of troops in a matter of hours with heavy lift capability, right? With aircraft and things like this, with the intelligence and satellite monitoring, all of this. And that's what the Americans built into. That's the role the U.S. played inside of NATO. And if the U.S. doesn't do that, then Europeans can't respond quick enough. So the Russians could invade and the Europeans would take too long to counter it. So that's one thing. The other thing is strategic, is that they just want to try to make sure that the U.S. is committed to Ukraine, and this is sort of a backdoor way of trying to get U.S. commitment to defend Ukraine, but without, say, combat troops, instead with support capability.
We're talking with Professor Matthew Schmidt from the University of New Haven. I got to meet your president, too. He spent some time with us in studio. It seems like things at the university are moving, man. I don't know if you've been...
Oh, he's great, yeah.
He's really impressive, and the sports is, it just seems like the university is doing really, really well. In terms of, it just appears to me, and again from my layperson's perspective, that it's a horrible dynamic for Ukraine on the other side. They have to acquiesce to giving up land, but they're not allowed to do it because of their constitution. They need some sort of vote, but Russia won't agree to a ceasefire to have some sort of vote. So like, they're sort of forced to, I don't know what, they only have one option, which is to give Putin everything he wants. It doesn't seem to be an option B.
Yeah, I mean, that's essentially Putin's, long-term strategy here is to delay and delay and delay, because he thinks that the longer he delays, the more he can deteriorate Ukraine's position, right? And the more he can, frankly, he can split away American support for Ukraine, the more he can tire Trump out and have Trump sort of wash his hands of this, which is his ultimate goal. So if he can keep the U.S. from providing that support to a coalition of the willing, then he can get more of what he needs. The dynamic is that the Ukrainians, the press is always saying that the Ukrainians are, you know, almost defeated, but they've almost been defeated for 4 years. And the Ukrainians are looking out at this and they're saying, well, we now have British Storm Shadow missiles. We are conducting a strategy of deep strike into Russia. We're conducting a strategy, targeted assassination, although they're not admitting it, against the, key general staff. And so we think that we can hold on for a year and really bring the war to the Russian population. So there's a lot of indication that economically the Russian population is starting to turn against the war as they're feeling, the economic cost of it. And Ukraine thinks that they can continue to ratchet that up for a year.
Well, that was a question.
So they don't feel as bad as, right, as they often look.
Well, that was sort of the next question I had, and it's kind of a two-parter with Professor Matthew Schmidt from the University of New Haven. One is, what is actually happening on the ground right now? Because I don't know what to read or what to believe. And the second component is, outside of like sort of you doing primary source reporting with contacts there, like, where do you get your information?
I get it from primary source sources, some guys that particularly work in the drone industry. Out there, I get it from a journalist friend who's based in Kyiv, who's been doing this since 2014. This kind of situation. And the answer is that Ukraine is losing ground, but they're losing ground slowly, and they don't feel that a defeat is imminent. When you see these news articles about the Russians gaining here and there, they're talking in terms of meters, maybe a few kilometers, and so it's just not at all clear that the collapse is any more imminent today than it was yesterday, because the Russians just don't. They're just terrible. they basically throw bodies at things and they have no capacity for breakout.
Is there ever going to be a point where I also see again on social media, it's hard to know. I really don't know that. Life in Russia isn't super great right now. I mean, there's no chance that the populace of Russia will start to step up and say, hey, can you, instead of spending money killing Ukrainians, why don't you spend some money on...
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So... that means a half day. Yeah?
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100+ meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
On us?
It's complicated because the connection between public sentiment and Putin, right, is not the same as it is here because it's an authoritarian state, but it's also not zero. And so there's this intermediary group of, the oligarchs, right? And so there is some rumbling about the cost of living, right? You just had this this event where Putin sits for 4 hours and takes questions from, essentially it's like a czarist thing. Like he takes questions from the, you know, the peasants as it were, and they ask the czar, you know, anything they want. And basically everybody was grumbling about the economy. And so that will have some kind of effect, but you also have the intermediaries, you have the oligarchs, right? Or for those of you who are interested in Russian history, the old boyars, the feudal lords, right? Who are getting concerned about, you know, the length of the war and whether or not they can keep, you know, keep the profits going. Because essentially what's happened is you've had actually quite successful economic runs during the war where you've had almost full employment, everybody's wages are going up, and that's starting to tap out now, though. Mm. You've seen a relative drop in GDP. And so that's the thing, is that there's pressure on the Russian side to reach a settlement and retool economically, retool militarily. They've basically built a military economy right now. So this is what the Ukrainians look at, and they say, look, nobody's under illusions here. Like if the Russians get a ceasefire, they're going to spend this time rebuilding their military capacity, and they'll be back in 2 years.
We got like 30 seconds. You just tell us, what's the next step here? They talk to Putin on the phone. Is Zelensky face-to-face in Florida? What's next?
The next step is that they have to try to, the Europeans really, I think, are an unspoken important player here. They're going to try to push, you know, the U.S. to provide support and some kind of security guarantee. But they'll, if you look at Trump's language, where he's been sort of walking away from the term security guarantee, they're going to try to get him to do it without that language. They're going to try to get him to say, like, we'll provide support, but without using the term security guarantee, right, to see where they can go with this. That's where I think we're headed next. But I don't think that there's any super pressure right now. I think you're looking at months to another year yet.
Great. All right. Professor, happy holidays. We really appreciate it on short notice, too.
No worries. Happy holidays. You take care, man.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.